It's really interesting that what Sue shared at the beginning of the meeting this morning, and again, some of us were upstairs praying before the meeting, and Sue really felt that she had that scripture from Philippians 4 and that whole thing around peace and, you know, people needing to come to peace. And what I'm going to focus on today is how we as Christians need to go from that place of being worriers to being warriors. See what I did there? Yeah, that. So, and it's it's a really important thing. And again, some of this stuff as I was preparing it, pretty much like Alison last week, it was very much like, this is all kind of, some of this is quite simple, straightforward stuff. It's stuff you will have heard before. But actually, I think there's some really important things that we need to understand as Christians about how we manage the day-to-day worries that come upon us. So I'm going to start by reading Philippians 4 and verse 6. First, in the Passion Translation, it says, "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ." In the ESV, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So this scripture is really, really important because it kind of sets out clearly there that we need to hand all our worries and the cares and concerns of this world over to God. And what I've really realised, and again, anxiety and worry is a very real thing in our world today, from the young to the old. You can't kind of underestimate the impact of worry and anxiety on people and their ability to really be able to function and live full and whole lives. And as I've looked at this and been thinking about worrier, and again, I'm not a natural worrier. I'm probably a bit, for the other end of the spectrum, a bit kind of a bit over-optimistic sometimes. So I'm not a natural worrier. And just as I've been thinking about some of these things, there are scales of worry. There is normal worry, which is the things, you know, we're worried from day to day about this and that and the other. But there is also worry and anxiety on the other side, which requires professional intervention because it gets to that place. And this is a bit of a definition for you, or a thing. It was on mentalhealth.org.uk, and it will just sort of frame what we're going to be talking about today. And it says, "Occasionally feeling anxious, particularly about events or situations that are challenging or threatening, is a normal and extremely common response. However, if feelings of anxiety regularly cause significant distress or they start to impact on your ability to carry out daily life, for example, withdrawing, avoiding contact with friends and family, feeling unable to go to work or avoiding places and situations, then that might be a sign of an anxiety disorder." And there's some really amazing, quite shocking statistics out there. And it says, in 2013, and this is the Mental Health Foundation, there were 8.2 million cases of anxiety in the UK. It's estimated that 5.9% of adults in England have a generalised anxiety disorder. So that's one that has been, I suppose, diagnosed and is serious. It's in its highest, so generalised anxiety disorder, is in its highest in the 18 to 34 year group, while the highest for panic disorders goes to 35 to 49. So that's really interesting, isn't it, that our 18 to 34 age group are quite anxious. And just to localise it a bit, in a report that I read around what's going on in Bristol in terms of mental health and wellbeing and those kinds of things, it said in 2018, 40,000 Bristol patients, that's 10% of the population in Bristol, had a diagnosis of depression, which is above the England average of 9.1%, and it's highest in the Bristol and North and Western outer areas. So there's just a few stats there to just kind of put into context around where actually some of that whole anxiety and worry thing is a really serious thing in society today. And I found another definition which I thought was really interesting, and it says, fear characterised by behavioural disturbances. That's anxiety or worry. And it's really true, isn't it, that worry can paralyse us. It can stop us doing things that we need to do. It can make us do strange things. It can hinder our walk with God. It can mess up our relationships. And we can find ourselves living in fear and scared of what might or might not even happen. And we neglect the things that matter. And as I've been sort of looking at this, this is really important right now. And as a leadership in this church, we really want you to be living full and healthy and whole lives, you know, holistically, not just spiritually, but we want you to be emotionally and physically well. And this is quite a big thing out there at the moment, and we'll be hearing more over the coming weeks around things around mental health and well-being. And you can't thrive and grow if you are constantly worrying or anxious, because what you need to be is match fit for what God has called you to do and to become. And as a church, if we're in this place where we're committed to building, to praying, to saying yes to whatever it is that God's got for us, then that's going to be quite a challenge if we're carrying loads of worry and anxiety with us. Because if as a church and as individuals we're committed to walking with God wholeheartedly and we want to see the new thing and we want to see him work, it's going to be hard in itself because we will face trials and challenges as we move forward. I was reading a devotional around prayer, and it's called Dangerous Prayers. It's a new book that's out. It's not been released in the UK yet, but on that Bible app where they have the prayer, the daily devotional plans. It's called Dangerous Prayers by a chap called Craig Groeschel, who's an American pastor. And he says, "But be warned, there will be bumps. When you start to pray things like search me, break me, send me, you will experience valleys. Attacks, trials, pain, hardship, discouragement, even heartbreak. But there will also be the joy of faith, the marvel of miracles, the relief of surrender, and the pleasure of pleasing God." And that really struck me because I just was feeling that if we're moving into this place where we're really seeking God earnestly and we're wanting him to do something with us, if we are carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, we're not going to be able to do that in such a way. And what I'm really not going to try to do today, because I just have no idea about the subject in any detail, is address those complexities of properly diagnosed anxiety. I'm not talking about that today. This is kind of how we go through everyday life and cope with the kind of normal day-to-day worries and concerns, which they're real, and I'm not saying we don't worry about them or they're not important, but as Christians we need to understand how to deal with those. Because what happens is when we move to facing life's challenges with strength and courage, we do become warriors, not worriers. So I've got three points today, which that works out well. Three quite, again, quite straightforward things in this area. And firstly, it's all about taking personal responsibility and managing the worry in your life. So, and this is, I suppose, starts with, do you really know what you believe about things like provision, relationships, health, identity, and your future? Do you believe what God says about these things? And do you trust that God is bigger than anything that you are worried about? And what is it you're doing to move from that place of worry to a place of overcoming? So, number one, in point one, are you believing what God says? We've heard it said here before, haven't we, that you say, "I believe." And this comes from that thing that Alison spoke about last week, about being absolutely drenched and in tune with the word of God and what it says. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 in the Message, it says, "So be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God because he is most careful with you." In the Passion Translation, it says, "Pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there. Don't pick them up again and walk off with them. You need to leave them there because he tenderly cares for you." And there was a little footnote in the Passion Translation one, and it just said this. It said, It said, load upon him every anxiety, for he is always watching over you with tender care. And I think we can sometimes think, oh, well, God's not bothered about that thing that I'm really worried about, or actually I don't believe he's big enough to deal with my thing, when actually he is. He is big. And I think that for every worry, care and concern, God has something to say about it. So for example, from time to time, we might all have, you know, a financial or material need. So do you believe that God is your provider? Do you know what he has to say about that? You know, my God shall supply all of my needs. Do you know where to go to in his word to find those stories or those words to encourage you that God knows what to do about these things? And what I would say is, if you don't know what God says about your particular worry, or you're not sure what you believe, is to take some time to go into his word, to pause in your worry while you work that out alongside God. So again, there's a tendency when we're worrying about stuff is that we've got to keep moving, we've got to keep going through it. When actually, I think for sometimes we need to just stop, see what God has to say about it, and then move forward. Because it's really, really important that we get to grips with these stuff. And for some of you, if it is provision, that might be the thing for this year or for however many months that you need to focus on studying while God helps you through that. And then what you need to do with that word is you need to just take it and you need to speak it over your life. Affirm it into your heart. You know what? You know, there's so many examples and stories in Scripture that you can take hold of as an encouragement for your own situation. And we sang the other week, didn't we, about I see you move the mountains. I'm going to see you do it again. You know, if it is that you've got something you're dealing with that is, say, provision, actually go to the Scripture, see what it's got to say, see in Scripture where God has done something, and take hold of it and use it for yourself, and really just cry out to God, really, to see him do it again. It really is our most effective weapon when we're dealing with our worries and concerns, the word of God, that is. And we know that from Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. He calls to mind scriptures that he knew and that he had trusted in and that he could recite and use as a weapon in that place of wilderness. And he was only able to do that because he knew it and he'd taken time to understand the scripture. And I just think that, if that's not the best example of how to use the word of God and speak it over your situation, then I don't know what is. And number two, in terms of your personal responsibility, is about being saturated in prayer. And again, Alison spoke about this last week. In Philippians 4, it encourages us to let our petitions and praises shape our worries into prayers. And in the Draw the Circle book, we were really encouraged, weren't we, to turn everything in life into a prayer. So from the very small to the very big. And I think when that happens, it switches something different on in your mind. And it says, didn't it, in the Draw the Circle, think of your worry as your prayer alarm, so your anxious thoughts can then be redeemed and then will evaporate. So if you're concerned about something, the moment it starts whirring around in your mind and starts to trouble you, turn it into a prayer before God and see what can happen. And Bob Goff says, God delights in answering our impossible prayers. So nothing is impossible before him. And again, the Draw the Circle book really encouraged us to literally make your life become a prayer. Thirdly, under this sort of idea of what your personal responsibility is around being committed to placing your whole life fully before God, because everything belongs to him. And this is what I was saying earlier about actually sometimes we think, oh God, you can't deal with that bit, I haven't given you that bit. But actually, everything belongs to him. Finance, health, family, relationships, children, your future plans, everything and anything belongs to him, and we need to surrender that to him to be able to deal with the daily cares and concerns. And it says, doesn't it, in Romans 12 and verses 1 to 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture, so this world, that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognise what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God will bring out the best of you and develop well-formed maturity in you. And that's just really clear, isn't it? That whole everything is in him, and everything needs to be laid down before him. And I think there's a real temptation, and I suppose if I do anything, and I don't think I worry too much, but I can overthink something, and I can create a million scenarios out of a particular thing. And that's, I suppose, my thing is, that kind of moving from a place where I go, well, but what if this happens? Which is actually, when you say what if, that is coming out of a place of fear, and that can paralyse you to not move forward. And actually, it puts, I suppose, the control is on you then to work it out or to make something happen. There's no action in that place of what if, because you're so busy working out all these scenarios and seeing what is happening that it's just really, really hard. But so we need to move to the place of what if to even if. So even if this thing materialises and it gets big, and yes, I know that this is a real worry, so yeah, I know I'm in financial trouble at the moment, I know what God says about this, and I can trust in him that he is my provider, and I'm in faith, and something's going to happen, and you can move to action. And then what you're doing then is you're taking the control off yourself and you're putting it onto God. So that's about moving from what if to even if. And in Matthew 6 and verse 34, this is really a famous, well-known scripture that we probably all know. It says, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. In the Message, it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked about what may or may not happen tomorrow. So again, overthinking, scenarios, all the rest of it. Give your attention to what God is doing. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And when I was thinking about these things, and I think it, I've said it already, is, are there things that you're withholding from God being in control of? What things do you not trust him to sort? What things are you holding on to that need letting go of into his hands? And that could be your future plans. That could be your children is quite a big deal. I learned early on with lots of advice that Freddie was not my own. He was God's, and I handed him his future plans, his health, all of those things into God's hands. And that's not easy because they're our children. But actually, sometimes we do need to let these things go. And we really have to be in this place where we can pray. What in the Dangerous Prayer book it calls it a dangerous prayer, and it's from Psalm 139 and verse 23 in the Passion Translation. It says, "God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares." Are you able to come before God open-handed, open-hearted, and say, find out everything that's hidden within me that I haven't laid before you and do something with it? That's a really powerful, it's a really difficult thing to do because that's the surrendered life. I mean, it's, sift through all my anxious cares. Have you done that? Are there things that you've just not laid before him? So moving on from what your personal responsibility is, the role of others in helping you and supporting you is really, really important. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking, oh, God's really speaking to me about relationships and friendships and different levels. Oh, maybe I'll do something on that. But actually, this is what God wanted me to do today. But actually, as I've been looking at this and the role of others in the lives, the lives of each one of us, it's really important because this journey of faith requires teamwork and it requires togetherness because we are better when we have people that journey alongside us. We are made to be in relationship, not only with God, but with others. And it's important that you have people that walk alongside you, that are heading in the same direction as you, Adam, not pulling you this way or that way. In Amos 3 and verse 3, there's a lovely scripture, and it says, "Do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going in the same place?" You need people in your life that are holding your hand and are heading in the same direction, because if there was this going on, you really wouldn't be able to get any further forward. And again, it's something that came out through Draw the Circle. Who is holding your arms up in your times of anxiety and worry? Who are your rope holders? Who are the people that are there for you when you can't fight, they can? Who is walking that journey with you, holding your hand? And we see that, don't we, about the rope holders in Acts 9, 23 to 25. It says, "After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him." That's been Saul. "But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers," I suppose his supporters, his close circle, "took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall." And I think the impact of others on your journey, it comes at a number of levels. And I think depending on what the thing is that you're going through will depend on how you access these things. So this isn't a priority order, because I think you'll probably tap into these as you go through life. You know, your close friendships, number one, your close friendships, both inside church, which are great because they're faith building and all the rest of it, and outside of church. So I have some really key people in my life outside of church who I particularly trust to speak wisdom into my life. And you might find that a bit, oh, right, okay, that's interesting. But one particular lady I work with, and we've become close friends over the last 6 years, I could, you know, trust her to speak into my life in a wise way. And she can challenge me, with a look in her eye, actually. You didn't even have to say a word. She's great. But the role of I suppose what you'd call your inner circle is really, really important, because they're the people that will be gathering around you, and they will speak the truth in love, in good and bad. So it's not all about gathering people around you that are just going to soft pedal everything and just sugarcoat it, because actually life's not like that. You need people in your life that are going to speak the truth in love. And we have a thing at work called check and challenge. And this is when we're going through business planning and we have to present our business plans and we have to get up and present them. And there's always this process of check and challenge. So the plans are checked and then a challenge is offered. And I think that it's really key to good, healthy, close relationships, actually, that you have people that can challenge you to help you move forward. So, for example, I might be thinking, so I might have a worry or concern that, oh, money's a bit tight at the moment. And I think I need to go and get another job. I need to go and get another job so I can get more money and go and do a thing. I might go to Sue, who is somebody that I absolutely trust and I know will challenge me and speak to me. And she will do this thing, which I think she'll do. She won't just go, oh, yeah, that's a really great idea, Nikki, just get on with it. Yeah, that's going to be the solution. She will stand back and she will remind me that God's given me the job that I'm in, and is that the right thing? And she'll speak wisdom and truth and life into it. So make sure you have those people in your world that can do that for you. And don't go looking at then outside of that circle. If those people, your trusted people, give you an answer that you don't like, because by widening the circle, it just causes mayhem. You really need to, for some of these things, keep it close. But then also the wider church community, of course, is really important. Our small groups and all of these different things that we're involved in. You know, there is a places you can take your worries and concerns about and get prayer for and support for and practical help. There are people in this church that have been through situations that you will be able to learn from how to get through particular situations. So again, whether that's provision, whether that's health and healing, whether that's finance, whether that's a child coming back to the Lord, there are people that have been through stuff. So again, get alongside people that can encourage you and that you can learn from. And then I suppose the next level, I suppose it is if we are doing levels, is around pastoral and professional help. And I'm going to kind of lump them together, really. Because I suppose some of the day-to-day cares and concerns you wouldn't necessarily bring to us as a leadership. So you'd probably expect that you're all sort of getting on with those and praying about them. You're using your inner circle, small groups and all of that. So I suppose what we're talking about here is when it gets to a particular stage where actually you might just need to talk about something a bit further. Something's been going on for a long time. Things are getting quite serious. It would be really helpful for us as a leadership team to know about those things when they happen. Sometimes we don't know about stuff and we only know about it when it gets to too late, and sometimes that's a bit frustrating, but that's leadership for you, I think. So we only know what we know at any moment in time, but actually, you know, we are here as a leadership team to support you. And then of course there is the role of professional help, and I suppose this really comes into play when, you know, things are becoming a bit more out of the ordinary and worry goes into something else. So, you know, and again, I probably would put this list alongside coming and getting some proper pastoral support, is that your worrying is becoming uncontrollable and causing distress. It affects your daily life, including school, job, social life. You can't let go of your worries. You worry about all sorts of things, such as your job or health and minor concerns, such as household chores. It becomes a multiple of things. So what might have just been, oh, I'm worried about I haven't got enough money in the bank, suddenly balloons into a whole raft of other things. And interestingly, and I think we're learning now as a church, Christy Wimber, who actually she's been really instrumental in waking the church up around mental issues and mental health. She said this. She said, "I believe in therapy. I believe in medication. But I also believe in the healing power of Christ. We must be open to all three. Some will need one. Some will need all. But we'll need one of at least one of them." So I think the church has really moved on in the way that it deals with mental health. So point three, and most importantly, God is in control of your worries and concerns. We talked, I think Michelle said earlier in the worship, you know, we have these daily battles that we're going through, worries and concerns, but that battle is not ours when we're in God's hands. And I read in some depth in preparing for this Psalm 55, and we see David kind of pouring out his heart, you know, in all kinds of trials, tribulations, worries and anxieties. And what we learn from David through this at the end of it is that God is in control and everything is in his hands. And when it felt like that David was just surrounded by the weight of the world, he remembers that he is surrounded by God and God has everything in his hands. And in Psalm 55 and verse 22, David says, "So here's what I've learned through it all, through all of those things that he went through. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you." And we see it in 2 Chronicles and 20 verse 15, where it talks about this battle was about to ensue. And this is what it says. It says, "And he said, 'Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde.'" So you can say, I can say to you, do not be dismayed and afraid at your great problem out there, for the battle is not yours, but God's. "Tomorrow, go down against them, behold them, come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle, but stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Really, really important to know that. And again, this is all about being drenched in the word of God, being persistent in prayer. He will fight the battle for you. And then just coming back to that whole thing where, you know, we don't think God is big enough or interested enough to manage our cares and concerns. In Matthew 6 and verse 30 to 34, it says, "If God gives such attention to the appearance of the wild flowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll tend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax and not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you both know God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, and don't worry about missing out. You'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. You know, God is concerned about every little thing on this planet. So, you know, how much more is he concerned about you and your cares and concerns? And we have to remember that he is for us. And again, I think sometimes we can think that somehow God is a bit distant from us, not that interested, wants to trip us up, wants to spoil our fun, all the rest of it. But he is for us. And in Romans 8 and verse 31 to 39, it says, "So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me then, who can ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold us from anything he has to give. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. Life's troubles," so there we are again, you know, his love covers life's troubles, "fallen angels or dark rulers in heaven. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One." So just having sort of rattled through those three points, you know, it is our responsibility to, you know, to look at our situations and how we manage our worries and concerns. It's important that others are involved and that you have, a close circle around you, and use the friendships and family in this church to help you get through your worries and concerns. But when we think about what it looks like, I suppose, to be a warrior and not a worrier, and again, I'm going to come back to the circle book, is there was a lovely line, and it said, and this is what I think a warrior looks like. It's somebody whose knees are bent in prayer and hands are raised in worship. Because when we abide in the presence of God and his word, things will change. When we start to not simply ask him for things, but ask him to reveal things to us, he will become the centre of our thinking, not our circumstances. Those worries will then evaporate. And although those things will still exist because they're real, and we're not burying our heads in the sand because some of these things are real, we have to deal with them, but we can deal with them out of a place of knowing that God is in control and can deal with these things so much more efficiently and effectively than we can in our own strength. So lastly, just coming back to Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, in the Message, it's slightly different, but it says, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces the worry at the centre of your life. When that happens, and you will know that happens because the peace of God, as Sue came and shared with us earlier, you'll know when that happens, you will feel able to cope, you'll be able to stand, you'll be able to fight, you'll be able to declare his word with confidence, and you'll be able to testify what God has done for you, as David declares in the psalm when he says, "God met me more than halfway, he freed me from my anxious fears." Amen.